All right, we're in 2 Kings chapter 2 today. You can follow that along in our series, Unstoppable God. This is the second of 4 weeks in Unstoppable God. Today we're talking about Elisha, the prophet Elisha, who wasn't a prophet at this point, just an apprentice, a trainee. He stood alone on the bank of the river, Elisha, and on the opposite bank are the same 50 men. And he can guess what they're thinking, because when he went, there was two of them, but now the prophet's gone and he's come back alone and he's standing on the bank of the river, Elisha, with the prophet's cloak in his hand, but he's on his own and his fingers tighten slightly. He remembers when he first encountered that cloak, which was 6 years ago. 6 years ago, he wasn't in any kind of prophet school or anything like that. He was a farmer. He was just ploughing his barren fields, really. The land was in drought. That was a drought that they said was caused, actually, by the prophet, by Elijah, who said no rain, and then there was no rain. And so the land was in drought, and he's trying to guide this plough through this barren ground with oxen in front of him. That was Elisha just 6 years ago. It was a hard time for Israel. The nation had been rejecting God, worshipping the Baals. The drought was bad. Even in his early 20s, Elisha, he got that. Israel had fallen far. Devotion to God was token at best. Almost 80 years ever since Israel split from the southern kingdom, their kings had led them astray from God. Their current king, Ahab, was the worst of all. Listen to this. This is 1 Kings 21. There was never anyone like Ahab who sold himself to do evil in the eyes of the Lord, urged on by Jezebel, his wife. He behaved in the vilest manner by going after idols like the Amorites the Lord drove out before Israel. This is the Israel that Elisha is born into. He's raised in this nation of idol worshippers. His political leaders are encouraging people away from God. Plenty of people in Israel were dismissing or blaming or ignoring God. Elisha could have, and some would say would have had cause to. Like, God's supposed to be on our side. And here I am, I can't even get anything to grow in this dry ground. I'm just ploughing this barren ground with these oxen in front of me. This is all I have in the world, just this. And there's no agriculture thriving here. Where is God now? You might have had some of those dry earth experiences yourself, circumstances and opposition that break your back or your heart. Where is God? Is he here? Is he for us? Where is God? But Elisha's ready. Even then, he's struggling with his oxen, but he's ready for more. Just a few weeks before that was Mount Carmel, if you know your Old Testament stories. Elijah, the prophet, has been on Mount Carmel and he's had this massive showdown. It's been this big deal, and God has won. Like, it was amazing. All these other prophets and all these other idols and all these other people, and Elijah stands alone. Well, not alone because God's with him, but he's the only guy there kind of representing God. And Elijah calls down fire from heaven, and this whole crowd goes from angry against God to like totally stunned and worshiping God. The Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God. That was just a few weeks ago. And Elisha would have heard about that, would have known, all of Israel would have known about that. While he's plowing his the ground with his oxen. But kind of that was a few weeks ago, but it kind of fizzled a bit. Elijah was in hiding. He found a cave somewhere because the queen wanted him dead and she was out for blood. Jezebel's back in control. Elijah's missing. Except while Elisha is ploughing his the ground, this dry ground, here comes the prophet, just boom, 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 marching kind of through the dust, takes his cloak off, puts it over Elisha's shoulder. Like, this is the mantle of the prophet. You're going to be my apprentice. I'm going to train you. You can do what I do. Over Elisha. Elisha's like, no way. And then Elijah, no sooner he just puts the cloak on him, he just walks off. Come on. Like this. And Elijah's like, and he runs after him. I'll come, but just at least let me say goodbye to my family. And Elijah goes, oh, dude, sorry. Of course, you know, like, go back and do that. And so Elisha goes back, and He burns his the yoke thing, which is all made of wood, breaks it up, makes a fire, slaughters the oxen, has a big feast, gives it all away. Like he burns his old life. And he follows after Elijah. This is who I used to be, but no longer. I'm with God now. Some of you have done that in the last 12 years here. I used to be this, but I've found God, and I have given up that old life. I'm with God now. Some of you have rediscovered that in the last 12 years here, since I've been here. I used to be that, and then I've drifted a little, or I've got complacent, or I've got a little bit apathetic, but I've burned that now. I'm with God now. It's beautiful. It's invigorating, isn't it, when you're like, now I know who I am. Now I know where I'm going. I'm with God now. He'd committed himself then. And he's with Elijah for 6 years. Within that time, Elisha would have seen the miracle of fire from heaven twice that we read in 1 Kings 1. He would have received instruction, example from Elijah as his servant, as his apprentice. We just assume that because there's no mention of Elisha again until the end of Elijah's ministry. But in 2 Kings 2, we hear a lot about this day, this momentous day where Elisha stands alone on the bank of the Jordan River with a cloak of the prophet in his hand and 50 men on the other side facing him. The apprentice returning without his master. We know from verse 5 of 2 Kings 2 that Elisha started that day knowing that it was his master's last day on this earth. And the day had been a series of tests for Elisha. A series of opportunities to back off, to ease up, to step back from all of this. It started up on the hill in Gilgal. His master had said, stay here, stay here. The Lord has sent me to Bethel. But Elisha says, as surely as the Lord lives and you lives, I will not leave you. And you live, I will not leave you. So they go down to Bethel. Now Bethel, if you remember, if you know this story, Bethel got its name like from 1,000 years ago, when Jacob, who became Israel, who is the father, one of the patriarchs, the father of the nation of Israel, when Jacob had been sleeping rough in a random place, in some place. That's how it's introduced to us in the text, in Jacob's story. He just lay down and slept in some random place. And then he had this dream, and God spoke to him in this place. Said, I am the Lord, the God of your father Abraham, the God of Isaac. I will give you and your descendants the land on which you are lying. Your descendants will be like the dust of the earth, and you will spread out to the east and the west, the north and the south. All peoples on earth will be blessed through you and your offering, which is a reaffirmation of the promise made to Abraham, who is the grandfather of Jacob. You can look all that up in your own time if you don't know that story. The point is, Bethel, here's the place where the father of this whole nation heard God say, I am with you. I am here and I am with you. That's 1,000 years ago. And yet, here's Elisha coming down with his master thinking, this is Bethel. Is God still here? Is he still here? Then Elisha says, test him again. Oh, some other prophets come to him first, that's right, and they say, hey, Elisha, do you know that your master's going to be taken from you? And he goes, yeah, I know, shh, I'm aware. And then Elijah tests him again. Stay here, the Lord has sent me to Jericho. Elisha says, no, as surely as the Lord lives and as you live, I will not leave you. So they go to Jericho in the company of the prophets there. Now, Jericho 600 years ago was where Joshua marched around that city when they were entering the promised land, where God says, I'm going to give you this, I'm going to let you conquer this thing, but it was an impregnable kind of fortress with walls, really high walls that they couldn't scale, they couldn't get around, they couldn't knock over this city, and God said, I'm going to do it for you. And then Joshua, when Joshua met God, or this kind of representation of God, this person who talked to him, and Joshua said, whoa, who are you? I'm the commander of the Lord's armies. And Joshua says, whose side are you on? And the guy goes, I'm on no one's side. I'm in charge. That's God. And he told Joshua what to do. And Joshua and the Israelites, they walked around that city 7 times. And then God knocked the walls over. Remember the story? Bam. That's Jericho, 600 years ago. Here's Elisha the prophet standing on the Jericho site with the other prophets from Jericho there. They know the story. They're looking at this city thinking, 600 years ago, is God still powerful? Is God still here? Is God still powerful? So in Jericho, nearly 600 years after the walls fell, Elijah tests his servant again. Stay here. The Lord has sent me to the Jordan. And Elisha replies, as surely as the Lord lives and as you live, I will not leave you. So the two of them walk on. 50 men from the company of the prophets followed, and they watched from a distance as the prophet and the apprentice approached the Jordan River. Elijah the prophet, this man of God, he's got his apprentice with him. He takes his cloak off. And he stands beside the Jordan River and he holds the cloak up in the air and he hits the water. And the waters part. Like this, God. So some of these questions are answered now. Is God here? Yes. Is he powerful? Yes. Does he work now? Yes. How? Through that guy. He's Elijah, right? The man of God. And they walk through the Jordan out into the sand, desert space. Now, they get beyond eyesight. Elijah turns to Elisha and says, he's still there. Like, what do you want? Like, tell me what I can do for you. And Elijah says, let me inherit a double portion of your spirit. Like, I want this thing. I want God, but I want more even. Can I please have that kind of connection and that faith and that kind of vitality and that fire and that passion and that sold out kind of determination, that access to God? Could you let me do that? He's enthusiastic, this apprentice. I'm all in. He's so hungry. Who are the heroes of faith that have gone before you? Who have you looked to for inspiration, for guidance, for truth, for help in your faith journey? Do you feel in you the passion and the resolve to take up the mantle and continue the work to give all of yourself to God's purposes? Elisha does. He's like, I want a double portion. Elijah says, you've asked a difficult thing, meaning that's not really something I can do. But Elijah goes on, but yet if you see me when I'm taken from you, it'll be yours, otherwise not. Okay? So, what's he saying here? Who controls whether Elisha sees this? Does Elijah control it? No, God does. Elisha has to lean in. He has to keep going. He has to be there. But God's going to take Elijah, and it's up to God whether Elisha sees that or not. So in one sense, Elijah's saying, like, I hear your request, not mine to grant, but maybe God will. Keep pressing in. It's up to God to honor that request or not, which is cool, because for lots of years I thought Elisha had to catch the cloak. Like Elijah said, if you catch his cloak, you'll get the double portion. So I thought it was about kind of hand-eye coordination and dexterity and things like that. Actually, it's just about God. Because God looks at the heart, the way we see him, love him, obey him, seek him, want him, pursue him. And Elisha couldn't receive anything other than what was in God's purpose for him. So they keep walking along. When suddenly, out of nowhere, horses of fire and a chariot of fire drive between them. They're walking together, and then out of nowhere, horses and chariots of fire split them apart. And Elisha's blown back, and his master's over there, and Elisha's like, my father, the horsemen and the chariots of Israel, meaning this is God's army. Like, oh no, like this. And then Elijah, he's gone in a whirlwind. He's swept up to the sky, out of sight, boom. And Elisha is just grief-stricken. Oh, my father, like that. And so then Elijah's gone, boom. The horsemen are gone, the fire's gone, the whirlwind's gone, and there's just no Elijah, just the cloak that he's left lying on the ground. And then Elisha walks over to the cloak. He picks it up and he holds it. And he walks back to the Jordan alone. I don't know what he's thinking, but is God powerful still? Is God here still? Does God work still? But it's just me. And there's 50 people on the other side. Two set out, one returns, just the apprentice, the student. Elisha, here's what he does. He stands at the riverbank, holds the cloak up high, and he yells out so everybody can hear, "Where now is the Lord, the God of Elijah? Where now is the Lord, the God of Elijah?" And he hits the water, and and he walks across to the other side to do a ministry that doubled. Like, the, literally, there is double the amount of miracles in Elisha's ministry than is recorded in Elijah. It is, but here's what I want. Here's the point that grabs me in this story. Like, it's just me now. It's just me. Where now is the Lord? He's right here. Is God here? He's here. Is he powerful? Yes. Can he do this through me? Yes, he can. Yes, he can. I'll be gone in 3 weeks. Dominique will be gone in 3 weeks. Matt will be gone in 3 weeks. And over the last few weeks, I've had heaps of messages and conversations with many of you. And I've heard many times, I'm going to miss you. I feel like I'm losing a friend. I feel like I'm losing a mentor, a teacher, a guide. What are we going to do now? Some of those. Now, you might not think that. Some of you do. Some of you don't. Some of you are like, oh, finally, someone decent on the platform. But for some of us in the coming weeks, we're going to walk back into kids' church or into church here or into Alpha or to our life group or to the staff meeting upstairs or to worship practice or into elders or in the walking group or wherever we are among the people of God here. We'll walk back in and we might feel the absence, we might feel inadequate, we might feel small or insignificant or lacking in power or wisdom or charisma or whatever it is that you feel like is missing. Like Elisha standing alone on the riverbank. When that happens, look up. Where is the Lord? Where now is the Lord? He's right here. He's powerful. And he works just through people who want him. He's the only hope, and he's here. He's the unstoppable God. Let's pray. Our Father, we acknowledge this morning that you are God unstoppable, beyond time and space, beyond any power we can fathom, beyond our perception and our experiences. Help us never to limit you. Help us to trust you and depend on you and want you more. Fill our hearts, God, with a passion and a zeal for you, for your purposes, and give us faith like Elisha had, faith to drop everything and follow you wherever you lead us. Pour out your spirit through your people here at Community Church Warragul, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.